Psalm 107:9, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul. Goodness. Psalm 107:9, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 107:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Lord, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Psalm 139:103. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Psalm 139:103. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Psalm 139:103. Children, please stand for Bible class. Before we begin, we need to take a moment of silent prayer to get in fellowship with the Holy Spirit as He fills us. All we need to do in this situation is name our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a moment of silent prayer, take care of that, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us another day to continue on this journey in this relationship with you. We pray for concentration so we can hear your word and get to know you more through these studies. We also pray that we can continue on focusing on you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We're still in our Faithful in Christ, and this is part 4. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 will be our verses we're in, if you want to turn to that in your Bibles. And we were able to come back around to our first verse, and we actually made it to our second, which was nice for a change. To move forward is always good. But I still want to move forward, but I also want to review at the same time, because some of this stuff, you need to hear it a little bit more than once. But I won't spend too much time on it. I just want to hit it a little bit more. So I'll read these two verses, and then we'll get into it. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. And this is where we started to talk about our word here. In the NASB, it says gained approval, but the Greek word is martyreo. And it means to bear witness, to testify, to give evidence or proof. And we came to the conclusion that for us, this our life is our witness. We're currently in our testimony, and we are giving, bearing witness as we speak. Another thing that we looked at was the aorist tense. We which we saw was a point in time. So this bearing witness has to do with looking back. And the good news for us was that we're still not at the point where we are looking back on our lives. So we actually have an opportunity to change things as we move forward. And that involves our decisions. So just as we too will one day look back on our lives, as we are here in the scripture of these faithful believers, as God decided to show us through scripture, we too will be there. Our testimony will be complete. It'll be a closed book, and we won't be able to add anything else to it. So that should tell us that we should continue to pack our bags with spiritual information as much as we can, because one day we won't be able to pack anymore. This life only has so much packing we can do, and it ends at the point of death for us. So we already said the good news is that we're still here. We can still pack our bags, and our testimony is in full effect. So the opportunity is available, and this is where we talked about redeeming the time from Ephesians. And the thought behind that was to seize the opportunity, to take advantage of the time. And we know that we can't do this 100% of the time, but we know we can have a mindset that the clock is ticking. And we always have to think about that. And another part of this is that sometimes we may not think about a lot, but heaven is not equal. A few things, points that I wanted to make on this are that there is shame mentioned in the Bible at the judgment seat of Christ. We will know about our testimony and what we missed out on. That's based on 1 John 2:28, 2 Timothy 2:15, Philippians 1:20. Obviously, that shame won't last into eternity, but we know there'll be at least a point in time where we will know what we did miss out on. And also, do not forget that we're judged by our divine good production, not based off of our human good production. So for us, this is based on 1 Corinthians 3:12. Divine good production has to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit, not what necessarily we can do through our own works, but what we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing is, not everyone will be wearing a crown. We don't just stand at the door and there'll be a long line and you get your crown. It'd be nice, but that just won't be the case. There's a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of glory. These are just a few of them. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. James 1:12 and 1 Peter 5, 2 and 4. You can read about these. The key thing to remember about this is we all have equal opportunity while we're here on earth, but not equality of results. So what that tells us is we all have the same opportunity to strive to be what we can be on this earth through the Holy Spirit, but not the same result because of your decisions. It all goes back to your volition. It is what you make out of it. Then the passive voice told us that, the passive voice of martireo told us that we, the subject receives the action of the verb. So for us, we receive the testimony. We receive the testimony. We are the one that's acting, performing, not performing the verb, but we are receiving the action of the verb. So what does that tell us? The main point of this was that we can't give the testimony on our own. It's impossible. We cannot give a testimony that God approves of without something from God Himself. And for us, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live this life. So the spiritual life is a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural means of execution. I just wanted to see what supernatural the definition was, and it means attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or laws of nature. So when we think about that in comparison to the spiritual life, it's true, because there's nothing that we can physically do to include the Holy Spirit. The only thing we can do is enter at the point of salvation, which includes God and the Holy Spirit, to make our salvation effective. And from that point on, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit to have the capability to produce divine works. So the point here was, God is only satisfied with us when He is in control and working in us and through us. So all this that we were discussing on Sunday, all of it evolved or revolved around faith, because Hebrews 11:2 told us, "For by it." So this witness, this testimony, was telling us that none of it is possible without your full devotion and reliance on God and what He can do on your behalf. So this has another aspect of our evidence, our testimony. There's another piece of this that we need to consider, and part of it has to do with, of course, our witness, but another piece of this we should be thinking about is our ambassadorship. And really, it's one and the same, because our witness is our representation of Christ on this earth. Remember our name tag. We represent Jesus Christ on this earth. So because of this, we must have continued growth in Christ, and we must learn not only to handle adversity, but learn how to handle it under the control of God the Holy Spirit. Consistency. I wanted to get a few points on consistency, because you must have consistency in order to be an accurate and good witness. So Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." What does that mean for us? What is consistency? 2 Timothy 2:13, "When we are faithless or unfaithful, He remains faithful." For starters, we must be consistent with these first two things: the intake of the Word of God, and number two, your push to regain fellowship. Those two things must be first priority in your spiritual life. If you don't start with the consistency there, go back to start. Because nothing's going to go together without those two things. Consistency. And this also includes our environment. Notice how consistency, we kind of get lax when we get into a certain group of people. Or maybe we go on vacation and we tend to slack on certain things in our spiritual life. Consistency in our testimony should include all places and all people. That's what we're talking about by consistency here. So, for starters, consistency is listening consistently to an intake of the Word of God, and restoration to fellowship should be your two priorities. Secondly, is prayer, a prayer life. We're all different in this area. We all have different techniques on how we pray, when we pray, where we pray. But however you do it, we should still be consistent. Whether you have a reminder on your email, or whether you can think about it at a certain time of the day, or however you do it, it's always to be consistent about that, because you're going back and you can remember things are changing. You can see these things change, and you can change, adjust your prayer as you move forward. If you let up on this, things start to slip and your prayers don't seem as accurate. So you have to stay consistent to, first of all, be in tune with what to pray for. Because remember, you're talking directly to God the Father. And He's consistent. So we should be consistent in our prayers to Him. This consistency, as we mentioned already, we must also be consistent with other people. And you'll see, you'll kind of go through this as we grow. All of us go through this. Is there will be a certain group of people that will take you out of your consistency in the Word of God. Whether it be very minor or whether it be larger than you'd like to. Right? And this is normal. This is absolutely normal. It's part of our growing process. But at the end of the day, it's one thing that you have to nip in the bud, because it's going to bite you. It will bite you. And one thing about it is what you're acquiescing to is you're conforming to this world. Is in the reality of what you're doing is you're stepping out of bounds and you're saying, I want to step out of this and I want to conform. I want it to conform to what, you know, just to maybe be accepted, to maybe to not deal with the rejection. You want to step back into that old life you used to have. And we can't do that. We can't do that. And it gets easier. It should get easier as we move forward. And really, it boils down to what's important. What's important to you? The individuals will get fewer and fewer that do this to you. But there will be certain ones that will continue to get you in that place that will get you out of fellowship and keep you there for consistent periods of time. And that's not good. Because remember, we must stay on the offense, remember? And in that spot, you're on the defense. And what happens is, it may seem like fun, but what happens is you're, as my mother used to say, you're walking on thin ice. You're walking on thin ice. So our dealings with people and our witness, our testimony must be consistent. They must be. Because remember, they don't care about what you stand for. They don't care. They don't care about your spiritual life. They don't care about you being in fellowship. They don't care about you growing spiritually. They don't care about knocking you off track. They don't care about any of that. Okay? So sometimes we just have to take a step back and say, well, I need to worry about myself. And not necessarily me, but we need to worry about our relationship. And really, it's about protection. It's protecting yourself. Romans 12. Let's turn to Romans 12. I wanted to look at these three verses because I think we need to. This is Paul's letter to the Roman believers, where he speaks about dedicated service. Romans 12, 1 through 3. And we're not going to fully exegete this, but I do want to look at it. And verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's explaining what we've been talking about. That's our testimony. This is talking about our evidence that we're presenting through our lives. We are a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So conform. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about allowing others to get us out of bounds, get us out of fellowship, get us off track. What we're doing is we're conforming to the world. So your testimony is being, you could say, tainted. It's being shaken or gotten off track because of your decision to conform to this world, whether it be for a moment or whether it be for a week. It's easy to get in a different environment and forget about where you're from and what you stand for. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And if you are waiting for a command, lo and behold, we have two imperatives in here. The first one is be transformed. Well, the first one is do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed is an imperative. But be transformed is another imperative. So there's two commands. So we're being told through the Word of God, His Word, He's directly telling us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You notice the word renew. Renew. It's something you have to consistently go back and keep doing. You have to keep doing it. Renew. The renewing of your mind is the renovation of your thinking from truth. That's a simple point. Renew means to resume an activity after an interruption. That's interesting. But it's true. If you think about our life and our sin nature, we're constantly interrupted. Hopefully not too constantly. But we're going to be interrupted. But the point he's trying to make is he's saying, renew your mind. How do we do that? By being transformed. By consistently learning, growing, and applying God's Word. And that applicational piece comes in when you're in that environment. When you go and you're around all different people, you're the only one that stands for Christ, you're the only one that has a spiritual life, that's when it counts. That's the application. Anybody can go in a crowd and be just like the crowd. Anybody can do that. That's the easy part. So when we change our thinking and our actions based on other people, we are conforming. That's the conforming piece. In other words, when we get out of fellowship and we stay there. Verse 3 says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith." So this is saying our testimony or our witness is influenced by our conforming to the world when we change the way we act around someone or something. But what does it say? But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So we've been provided something that God created called faith. You cannot rely on yourself in this situation. Can't do it. You'll fail every single time. Fail. The reason for that is because we have other ideas in mind than God does. We desire certain things, whether it be accepted, to be accepted socially, maybe just a friendship, or whatever the case may be. But it comes down to, we still, even though we desire these things, we cannot let them take us out of our fellowship. Can't do it. So we must have sound judgment based on faith. So before, I always say, before you get into a situation like this, get in fellowship. If you got a situation that you have to go into with a lot of people, get in fellowship. Because it's easier to get back in fellowship than it is to go into it out of fellowship. That's true. It's easier to get, how did I say that? It's easier to get back in than to go into it out and have to get in when you're already in. That's the hard part. You're in enemy territory out of fellowship is where you're at. Your gun's unloaded. Not a good place to be. So we also looked at the indicative mood, and I'm not going to stay here long, but that is the mood of reality. And this, our witness is telling us that this is a reality in the believer's life that continues to advance. Continues to advance. Remember, you could always throw in the towel. That's an option. That is an option. But that option, we should realize, is not a good option. It's only to your detriment. Only to your detriment. So Hebrews, back to our Hebrews passage. On verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Notice it doesn't say human reason or experience. It doesn't say we understand the worlds were prepared by the Hubble Space Telescope and by someone with a PhD analyzing the data. Doesn't say that. It says, what does it say? It says we understand the worlds, that's plural, were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith we understand these things. So that tells me that faith can understand the incomprehensible. Faith can understand the incomprehensible. As humans, we're incapable of understanding so many things on this earth. It just defies human understanding. Rationalism and empiricism. Those two things, faith defies, because rationalism and empiricism rely on you. Rationalism is our reasoning, how we reason point A to B. Empiricism is something I can see, I can touch, I can smell, I can taste. These go out the window with faith. So faith defies human reason because human reason relies on human senses, which are finite. Faith relies on God, who is infinite. So this can be a sidetracker when it comes to salvation. People want to see, they want proof, they want something in their hands. You know, how can I see? Did they find the cross? Where is it at? You know, I want to see something. But that's not what the Scripture tells us when it comes to salvation. It's just not what it... So if you ever get into that argument with someone, don't entertain it, because that can go down a long road and you come right back to where you were from the beginning, because the Scripture doesn't require something you could see, taste, hear, or even reason, understand. It's something that's not understandable. We won't fully understand our salvation until we get to heaven. And that's why it says it's through faith. And really, if you think about humans, we try to rationalize grace, don't we? We always try to rationalize grace. And the way we do that is we say, that's something I can earn. That salvation is way too good to be free. It's way too good. So that's something I can gain. It's got to be. It's got to be based on something I can do. That's the reasoning, the human reasoning, to try to figure out what grace is. And it just doesn't work, because it's not grace. Grace is free. Grace is absolutely free. And it's not based on me, and it's not based on you. It's just not. But humans try to take grace and understand it. And what the end result is salvation by works. That's the end result of human reasoning trying to understand grace. They can't understand it, so they take it and they pervert it. And grace is perverted all over. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Wow. Everyone wants something to see, wants something to look at. We're already in it right now. This word clearly seen is an interesting word. It's a compound word. The first part of it means down, which is kata. And the second word is hara'o, which is to look. So the sense is to look down from a vantage point. So it's not just saying you can see. It's saying you've lived here, you've seen, you've smelt, you've tasted everything that I've created, and you can see from a vantage point. So not only can you see everything I've created, but you're without excuse. So all this reasoning and trying to come up to something that they can see, taste, touch, smell, well, guess what? We're in it. Look at yourself. Look at our bodies. Look at this earth. Look at things, creation, animals. It's amazing. Verse 4. Wow. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony. There's our word again. Testimony. Martureo. That he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So think about that. Through Abel's testimony, millions of people have had a chance to learn and grow spiritually from his faith, from his testimony, from what happened in his life because of his reliance on God. He still speaks to us today. And will continue to speak to us. Because according to Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. So that tells us another thing about what we do through divine good on this earth. It lasts for eternity. Eternity. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness. There's our word again. He obtained the witness. I don't really like the way they put it. Obtained. It sounds like he's doing. It is in the passive voice every single time. That before he was before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So here we can see that faith is directly connected to pleasing God. So we can only please the Lord by living in faith. Our faith is what renders good service through faith. Remember, it's through faith, which we can do. We can do that. Why? Because we have the completed canon of Scripture. God left us His journal. He left us His personal journal, and it doesn't have that little lock that we used to see and all. We could never get in them. You can if you really want to, by the way. But I just never wanted to. You never know what you're going to find in that thing, right? Y'all had some of those. But God left us His personal journal, and it's wide open, available. His life, His brain, His mind, He gave it to us. And we can pick it. So that's what we do. We pick His brain, and we continue to pick His brain and become more and more like Him and become able to think with His mind and live it out and be a testimony. And finally, that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And I'm glad we made it here, because this is a word that we need to look more in detail, not tonight, but we'll look at it, because a rewarder, our ears, you know how our ears perk up when we hear about rewards. Everybody wants to know about rewards. It's a good thing to know about. The sense of this word, it has a sense of personal values and the basis of determining those rewards coming from the Lord, which kind of leads us into our next passage in Ephesians, which is blessed in Christ. And this word is only found once in the Bible, so I think we'll have to look at our Ephesians blessed in Christ to see what reward means here. I guess we'll stop there. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for allowing us to clearly see that Your grace is absolutely free. And when it comes to salvation, we thank You so much that You provided it free of charge, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do for it. There's nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it, but You provided it. Your word tells us that You died for our sins by grace, through faith, and there's nothing we can do for that. Thank You so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.